and then you're sitting, you're like sitting in this sort of spot that's possible. Could you, 2 Kings 6, verses 15 to 17? Drew? 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10? Alice, Psalm 102, 25 and 26. Susie, 2 Corinthians 4, 18. Matt, 1 Corinthians 13, 12. Galen, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Couple more. You see, Hebrews 11, 6. Eric, Matthew 8, 9, and more. Okay, yes, John 14, 26. John 14, 26. Okay, let's, Andy, maybe we get the light and let's spread that first clip. I'll give you the, this will be my high sign for stuff.
Okay. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it, you're entitled. There's something wrong with you. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind. Driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You're here because you know there has to be more than this to this life. There has to be more than just the here and now. There has to be a greater meaning. It can't just be that you're born by chance, the product of evolution into this world, which was also somehow perfectly evolved itself into a perfect ecosystem for sustaining life. It can't just be that we have a few years here on this revolving rock around the sun and then you die, like a candle that's been snuffed out. There has to be more. You feel it. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, I think we've all had that sense of, and like me or this movie, you know, that there's something more out there. It can't just be this. You know, in the movie The Matrix, Morpheus invites Neo to this sort of journey of truth. And for his entire life, Neo had been blinded to this world, this truth that was all around him. But there's something gnawing at him, wanting him to know more, wanting him to find out more. Take that step from death to life, and then he entered that world of the Matrix, the world that was previously undetectable to him. There's more to this world than meets the eye. There's a spiritual world all around us that we don't see. There are spiritual battles going on around us that we don't hear, and we only have a sense of it. Like a baby in a mother's womb. We can hear some, you know, we can recognize our mother's voice, but we don't know everything that's going on. Like radio and television and cell phone and internet signals that are all around us right now, without us seeing. There's also an entire spiritual world that we don't see and sometimes ignore. And Jesus implored us, he said that those with ears to hear, I'll let them hear. We become in a way like Helen Keller, where we don't have the senses to perceive everything going on around us, and yet it's there, and it's in God's Word, and He gives us the evidence. So I want to talk about that a little bit today. Let's start off with 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17.
When the servants of the man of God got up and went back early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah eye for it, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of waters and chariots of fire all around Elijah.
So the servant previously couldn't see this world, the spiritual world, that Elisha was all too familiar with. And we see this kind of thing in literature and movies all the time. You know, this world that only a few can see. Some of you may are familiar with the story turned movie, Burton, Hear the Who. And there's this whole, what we would call the regular world, you know, and then there's this tiny world on a speck, and yet they're unaware of each other. And the people on the speck, Whoville, had a hard time realizing, you know, that there was something more out there. In fact, let's play the next clip, and it'll show the first encounter of the mayor of Whoville figuring out there might be something else other than their little speck.
Hello!
Hello?
Hello?
This is the mayor.
The mayor?
The mayor? I knew
there was life on the speck.
The speck? What speck?
Well, I don't exactly know how to tell you this, but you're right. On a speck.
Well, I hate to disagree with you, old voice from the dream, right? But I live in Whoville.
Well, then, who builds a speck?
Hey, seriously, who is this? Is this Bert from accounting?
No. This is Horton. I know him.
Okay, Horton, big name. Where are you?
Well, from where you're standing? I guess I'm in the sky. Compared to you, I'm enormous, which is saying something, because I've slimmed down quite a bit. I swim. Your whole world fits on a flower in my own world.
Oh man, this is even pushing it to you first.
So you've got this people on this Whoville, and they can't comprehend that there's anything more than what they've always seen and known. Anything above and beyond, you know, the world that they're a part of. And, you know, and we see this all the time. There's so many examples of things that we don't see and yet are right there. Between Susie and Matt, I just went to air that we don't see. If there's a beam of sunlight to come right through it right now, we'd see all the different little floaty things that are, you know, in there, that are in the air that we don't even realize it. The Bible talks about there's kind of like a veil that exists between the spirit world and the earthly plane that we live. There's a veil there, but it's so much thinner than what we think. This morning I was trying to get here, and I couldn't find my phone, so I did the thing that you do when you ask somebody else in the family to call your phone. So Amy called my phone, and it was raining, but and you're so soft and muffled. And if you could only have a video game with us this morning, but I couldn't find it, I didn't call it again. And so we're standing, you could hear it, and we're both in our living room, like this. Like you'd hear it. But and we hear the vibrations and the little barely hear the ring. And we're looking around, and it's like it's gotta be trapped under something. I'm like, and things on the floor or under, you know, looking at pulling up couch cushions, it must have, you know, under this laundry here, and we're just looking, and we can't find it. And finally, we lifted up a piece of paper that was sitting there, and it was right there. Of course, I had somehow turned it all the way down, the ringer all the way down to the lowest setting, so it sounded like a million miles away, and yet it was right there. You know, there's a veil. The Bible talks about this veil, but it's not as far away as we think. And God will lift that veil and reveal his truth. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 10.
However, as it is written, my eyes seen, my ears heard, and my mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God.
So not only is this a spiritual world that we don't see, feel, hear, and touch in a conventional way, but it's also that the present, the Bible tells the present material world that we do experience with our senses is a temporary one. And this now unseen spirit world will never pass away. Psalm 102, verses 25 and 26.
In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, we will change them, but they will be discarded. And they will be discarded.
Okay, and then one more verse, verse 27.
But you remain the same, and your years will never end.
Okay, so we have this permanent, this temporary world that we live in this permanent kingdom of God that will never come to an end. Like 2 Corinthians 4:18.
So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
So, and the Apostle Paul explained that our perception of this unseen world is somewhat obscure, you know, like looking through glass. 1 Corinthians 13:12.
For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known.
So we don't see everything fully now, but one day that our vision will be clear. Now I've seen a number of people in here with glasses. Who's just like without the glasses just can't? I mean, yep, Linda? Okay. Well, you're not wearing them. Alright, Linda, could you take your glasses off for a second? Sorry. Alright, can we go to the next slide? Okay. could you read the bottom line for me?
No.
No. How about the one right above it? No. Okay, can you put your glasses on? Please be able to read it. Can you read any of the bottom two now?
Yeah.
Can we read it? Yeah, I just want to test it.
D-E-F-P-O-T-E-C.
Oh, nailed it. Nailed it. now we are seeing God's kingdom sometimes as without our glasses, without our spiritual glasses. And one day we will see face to face and it will all be clear. There's one God, creator of all things. But also, what sometimes hidden from us is the countless millions of angels and other spiritual beings who's created, who operate within the bounds that God has established for them. You know, as we saw that story in 2 Kings, chapter 6, that he opened his eyes and the servant of Elisha was able to see the chariots of fire and those all around them. There was a story of all over in the Bible of Balaam and his donkey. Right? Some of you know that story. Balaam's trudging along with two servants, and his donkey sees an angel standing in the road with a sword drawn, but no one else can see it, and Balaam can't see it, and the donkey stops, and the donkey smashes Balaam's leg into the side, and sits down, and Balaam was angry and struck the donkey, but he didn't realize that something supernatural was going on until God opened his eyes. We get this picture over and over in the Bible where sometimes that veil is taken down so that we can see. There's William Branham. He's an American preacher. He died in 1965. He explained his experiences of the spirit world like this. He said, they're sort of like when I was a little boy, but I wanted to see what was going on at the baseball game, and I couldn't afford to pay my way in. So I used to climb the fence and climb to the top of the fence and peek in. That's sort of how the Lord does with me. Only I don't do it on my own energy anymore. Now it's like when my big brother used to lift me up and bolt me so I could peek over. The Lord sort of lifts me up and lets me peek in. So God wants us to believe things in the unseen world purely by faith because of what he says about them in his word. Just like if I were to tell my boys, yeah, there's a baseball game going will run over the side of this fence. And they just said, I don't believe you, prove it. You know, I want them to take me for my work. And of course, they can pretty much see over the fence itself anyway. But it's that God wants us to believe by faith. And if we could see everything that's around us in the spirit world, it would be too easy to believe. It would cease to be faith. Let's read Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2.
Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for.
Okay, so the people were commended for their belief because of what God said. And that was, they were commended for their faith. And then, in fact, it goes on to talk about that in Hebrews 11, 6.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Okay. So that we have faith, even though we have evidences of this spiritual world, he also wants us to believe by faith. Right? In Matthew chapter 8, we read of a Roman centurion who kind of hit upon an important truth about the spiritual world. He's asking Jesus to heal his servant. Matthew 8, verses 8 and 9.
The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am the man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.
Yeah, and then it continues right after that word. He said, I have not seen such great faith. All of Israel, that he understood this unseen world where God was in control, and just as things happened on this physical earth, as he told someone to go and they go, that Jesus and God through angels does the same thing. And we see, you know, we read about in the Bible that, you know, there's special assignments that angels get sent on, and we see about Daniel's, you know, thrown both dead of lions, and angels shuts the mouth of the lions. Over and over, we see God and Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, you know, coming to visit, you know, three people in a fiery furnace. And because in our life here, we get confined with the parameters that we have. You know, we think of length and width and height and, you know, that's all we have in time. And God exists outside of all of those things. You know, but little bits and pieces of the puzzle, we start to, you know, gather into place because God lifts the veil and removes the veil over and over. And there's just, the more we discover, the more we see that there's infinitely more to discover. In fact, maybe some of you know this, I'll give you a little hork and here's a who moment. Look at your hand for a moment. Look at your palm. Keep looking there. Yeah. Did you know that the microbes on just one of your hands outnumber all the people on Earth? This kind of shows a little tiny picture of what is on your hand. You know, like, I washed my hand this morning. But, you know, if you didn't wash your hand, you might have even more, farmers might have more microbes, I'm not sure. But this one-celled living organism, they're too small for us to see without a microscope. And yet, they live in the air, in the soil, the water, even in our bodies. And we interact with them, and sometimes constantly we're interacting with them, even though their world is completely beyond our senses. The spiritual world does exist, and we sometimes encounter realities from there, both good and bad. Kind of like, talk about the sunlight and showing us all the stuff, little particles that we're breathing in all the time. You know, there's a spiritual battle going on. And because of that, we're encouraged to be watchful and prayerful and prepared. But we can also have the confidence of knowing that just as God rules the world we see, he also rules the unseen world. And so we need to pray to have our eyes open so we can see the spiritual reality God has for us, but also know that everything that is seen and unseen is under God's sovereign power. You know, you just think of years ago, before we had things like telescopes and microscopes, the things that were totally unknown to us. Yes, you could look and see the stars, but there's no concept of galaxies and black holes and supernovas and all these things that technology has shown us, which, of course, we read about in the Bible, but then algae caught up to that. And then microscope, where you could see down to microbes and all these things that were not available to our five senses. You know, continually as we see science catch up with faith in the Bible, we see more and more of God's incredible design for this universe. But that more and more that modern day parable of, like we talked about at the very beginning, Matrix, it illustrates that biblical truth that we were born into this world, but we're blinded to the real spiritual world around us. We've grown accustomed to the patterns of this world. Back to the Romans 12, 1 tells us to not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. You know, and our computer-like brains being specifically programmed by this world for media, education, for the choices we make, our patterns of thinking and programming. And just like the Matrix was not the true world, but only programmed one of the brains of people, this world is not our home. The Bible tells us that we're aliens here. This, we think this is our home and this is the only place that there is, kind of like the mayor of Whoville instead. And yet the Bible tells us that we're aliens here. In fact, the Philippians 3:20. What? Oh, okay, maybe I didn't get this one out. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's like the Israelites who lived in Babylon. They were taken away by King Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, and they were there for 70 years. And then the chance came for them to come back home. And there were millions of them, but only about 10% of them left. Because they were born in Babylon, they were raised in Babylon, their businesses and homes were in Babylon, and that's all they had ever known. They had forgotten about this home that they had never even seen, which others knew by faith and by teaching and by the writings, you know, was their real home. Think about what if you adopted all the, you go to a new country, you adopted all their new country's customs, and you forgot all of them. That is what it can be like for us on earth if we're not careful. And this next part, I think I got a blank on your bulletin sheet if you want to write this in, but this might be the most important message of the unseen spiritual world, is that we must recognize that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. This is I can't even pronounce his name, but this is a quote by Tirmidhi Chardin. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. You know, just like Neo in the Matrix or the mayor in the Whoville, we got to come to know that the world is subject to greater, more real world around us, the unseen world. And that can be difficult because we're born into this world, just like the Israelites were born into Babylon. And we're taught wrongly that only this world is real. You know, we get from media, from culture, from this upbringing, solidifies these lies so that believing in the spiritual world and God's kingdom can be almost impossible. Our world is so immersed in unbelief that so few people can simply believe. You know, if there's just one reason for me not to believe, like we talk about air, we don't see the wind, we see the evidences of the wind, right? We can feel the wind. We can see the leaves blowing on the trees. We see the evidence of it. God has given us evidence of his kingdom. And thankfully, God is on our side. He wants to help. He's sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to lead us into all truth. Right now, John 14:26.
But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things.
So no matter how your mind has been programmed or what lies have controlled your life up until now, God has both the desire and the power to transform your thinking. Our job is simply to submit ourselves to him. By yielding our mind, our soul to the Holy Spirit, we can start the transformation process. We can start it today. Renew our minds with the truth, and when we know the truth, John 8 tells us that the truth will set us free. And I need to be looking for each of us and listening for the things of God, praying that my eyes and ears would be open. I need to live in awareness of a much bigger world that goes on besides this physical earth. That we are aliens here. I'm sure I'll find it now. Natalie, if you want to come back up, but we're not singing this song now, but one of my favorite songs is Building 427. I don't even know the name of the song. We're not home yet. Part of the course is All I Know is, you know, I'm not home yet, and this is not where I belong. That we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that our eyes and our ears would be open to your kingdom, to your truth, to what is going on all around us, that you want us to live by faith, but you give us so many evidences through your word that we can trust because of your goodness. And through your Holy Spirit, teaching us and leading us into all truth. I just pray that you would open our eyes, that our spiritual glasses would be put on, that we would have such a greater perspective of who you are and who your kingdom is and how small our own little personal kingdoms are that seem to take up too much of our time, too much of our thought, too much of our attention. God, help us to see what is really important because of what is eternal. Open our eyes that we may see. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's sing together that thought as we ask God to open the eyes of our hearts.